Good morning, Mosaic. I say good morning, Mosaic. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our wonderful mothers here. I love this holiday. I believe that it is one of the best things that we can celebrate here in this country and as a community of believers. I think to myself, where would we be without our mothers? Quite literally, not here. Quite literally, you wouldn't be here without your mother. Where would we be without praying mothers? For the majority of us also, probably not right here. And so this is a great day to celebrate. I even think God is celebrating Mother's Day. Clearly this weekend we had Northern Lights. I don't think there's anything that says God is celebrating Mother's Day more than turning the sky pink in the middle of the night. So hopefully some of you guys got to see that. I unfortunately didn't, but my wife did and my mom did. I was driving down the road trying to look through my rear view and like spin around. Apparently I didn't have the eyes for it. So super excited about getting to celebrate today. But first, as you guys know at Mosaic, we have discussion questions. So our first discussion questions to get us going are these. Who is your favorite sitcom mom and why? And the second question is, what does it mean to be a good mom? So we're going to take a few minutes. You guys can jump back in your groups, and then we'll get going with the message. So as I said earlier, I love celebrating Mother's Day for many reasons. I think the first is that I've just been tremendously blessed with an amazing mother who is here today. My mother, my mother is a hero to me. I, like I said, literally wouldn't be here without her. I spiritually wouldn't be here without her. But she's not been that just to me, but just to a multitude of people that I knew coming up, not just siblings, but other teammates, friends. And I know many of you have experienced that in your life. And so because I have an amazing mother, this is an easy day for me to celebrate. I also have an amazing wife who is a mother to our children. And it's just such an honor to watch them coming up under her leadership, under her tutelage, under her nurturing. I've had amazing grandmothers. And so there's just been so many incredible women in my life that makes this a day that I am eager to celebrate. But I know that there's two sides of that coin, right? There's individuals here that feel very differently about Mother's Day, as was shared in the prayer that I wasn't aware was going to be said, but I think that they laid it out best. And so I just want to let you guys know that I sympathize with you. I don't know how I would be able to navigate without the mother that I have in my life. And so to know that there are people that are experiencing not having that, my prayers are with you, our support are with you. But I also know that the God of the universe can fill the gap of any human relationship. And I pray that you let God come into your heart. I pray that you let God fill that void for you. Because when God's there, there's nothing else needed. Amen. Amen. But today we're going to celebrate good mothers, right? Today we're going to celebrate what motherhood is intended to be. Motherhood is created by God as a good thing. God actually describes his relationship with us. Oftentimes, we know that God is our father, but he oftentimes, when looking for an illustration to share how he feels about us, the best example he can come up with is that of a mother. And so this is Jesus speaking. He said, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. We have in Matthew 23, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And this one's out of the book of Isaiah, which was shared earlier. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. And I think most of us know it's impossible for a woman to forget that relationship. But he's saying that even if a mother could forget, I love you even more intensely than that. And so I love getting to use some of these examples and look at the celebration of motherhood, what motherhood is supposed to be, and how God celebrates motherhood, because we're going to celebrate. So when I'm talking about mothers today, I'm going to talk about mothers in two different fashions. One is mother as a noun. This is a woman in relation to her child or children. And here's some fun facts about being a mom that maybe you guys know, maybe you didn't know. But I got a chance to research this week and learned a few things. While in the womb, babies begin to learn language from their mother. Think about the bond of that relationship. My cousin's one of the top cardiologists in the United States with Mayo Clinic, and I called him about this one. Once I looked it up, I was like, hey, I need to make sure that's true before I'm sharing this with our church. And he confirmed it with me. When a mother's heart is injured, stem cells from the fetus migrate to the injured site and repair the damage. Think about the bond that is that God has created between a mother and their child. Male babies leave traces of their DNA in their mother's brain, which likely protects the mother from Alzheimer's disease. And I say to my mom, you're welcome. I was the favorite child before that. So, mother's immune system is suppressed during pregnancy to protect the baby from rejection by the mother's immune system. That suppressed immune system helps mothers suffering with autoimmune diseases like arthritis, some forms of arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and lupus. Antibodies flow from the mother to the baby through the placenta and through nursing, which boosts the baby's immune system before and after birth. I just marvel at this beautiful creation, this beautiful design, this beautiful relationship that God has created between a mother and her child. Mothers develop a strong sense of smell during pregnancy, which acts, and Christy can certainly attest to that. I'm telling you, she could smell like a bloodhound when those babies were in there, because she could smell what was happening down the street. Mothers develop a strong sense of smell during pregnancy, which acts as a defense mechanism to stop the mother from ingesting food that is harmful to her or to her baby. And a mother's breast milk is customized to the sex of her baby, and its nutritional value differs depending on the baby's needs. So I thought that was just really cool. Just, you know, a scientific revelation of what God put together, the special bond between a mother and her child. And because of that bond, there's a love and a commitment between a mother and child that's been known for thousands and thousands of years. There's a story that I like to pick up in the Book of Solomon that illustrates this a little bit. And so the story starts with two ladies that had children, and they live in close proximity to each other. Because there's children in a room, we won't talk about why they live in close proximity to each other, but they live in close proximity to each other. And one of the children passes at night, and one of the mothers tries to switch the child over, replace the living mom's baby with the passing one, and then she took the living child's baby to herself. So tried to pull a switcheroo. And we'll pick it up here. And so these two women come to Solomon, who is the king in Israel at this time, and they're asking for Solomon to make a judgment. And because of Solomon's wisdom and his understanding of the bond between a mother and child, he deciphers this pretty easily. And so it starts here in verse 17. It says, the one woman said, pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your servant was asleep. And she laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I examined him closely in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had born. Forget I have the screen here that I can look at. Then the other woman said, no, for the living one is my son and the dead one is your son. But the first woman said, no, for the dead one is your son and the living one is my son. So they spoke before the king, and the king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. And the king said, give me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. But the woman's whose child, and I know there's some mothers in here already whose probably stomach just turns at the thought of that. But the woman's whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son. And she said, pardon me, Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other woman was saying, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Cut him. Then the king replied, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is the mother. And when all Israel heard about the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king because they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. When a mom and her child are connected, when you have a loving mother, when you have a mother the way God designed it, she would rather send her child to be with somebody else than to let that child see harm. What an amazing, amazing, amazing relationship. And I know that there's a lot of mothers in here that are just like that. And so today, we celebrate you. We celebrate your love. We celebrate the example of God's love that you are to us. But being a mother as a noun isn't the only mother. I would argue that even mother as a verb is most important. The definition of mother as a verb is to bring up a child with care and affection, to look after someone kindly and protectively, sometimes excessively so. Some of you guys have heard the phrase mama bear. Give you a photo. It's the mama bear right there. This is, you know, what you see on cards, what you see in a movie, something like that. The mama bear and her cubs. We just love each other and everything is great. And although this depiction, I believe, is true of a mama bear, I think there's a more accurate depiction of what a mama bear is. And even a grandma bear, I think the grandma bears are even more aggressive than the mama bears. And so this is what a mama bear is. If anybody has ever been out in the wild and you see cubs, you see these two cubs out there, do not trifle with them, do not mess with them, because it is well known that lurking somewhere close by is that mama bear. And if you get too close, or if she feels like her kids are in any level of danger, she will turn into that swiftly. And it's, you know, I could show videos. We don't have enough time. But there's videos of these mama bears taking on male bears, taking on different types of animals, a moose, anything. Anything comes in between her and her cubs, she will turn into that. And there's a lot of women in here that are the exact same way. And we celebrate you for that. We celebrate the protective nature, the tenacity, the willingness to do anything you can for your children. We celebrate this. This isn't limited just to mothers by now. I'll say this. I have a mother in love through my wife, Christy. I have a mother in love. We don't call it mother in law. We call it mother in love. And my mother in love, Gloria, we look nothing alike. We look nothing alike. There's no confusion that I wasn't delivered by her if you were to look at the two of us. But if you were to close your eyes or turn us into silhouettes or something like that, you couldn't convince anybody on earth that I wasn't her child. Mother by verb. A mother who loves you, who will protect you excessively, and her grandchildren. There's also, and we're super fortunate to have this example in our church, mothers by adoption. I think mothers by adoption are some of the most unique and special relationships in the entire world. We were, I don't know if not to jump to the theology side of this, but we were grafted in and adopted into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. The majority of us in here would have been considered Gentiles, meaning we were out, and God chose us. He saw something in us and picked us. And even when you're talking about loving excessively, gave up his son to die for us and adopted us into a relationship with him. My mother was lucky enough to have me as a child, so. But I think it's so special when someone looks at someone else and chooses to love them. And so to all of our adoptive mothers here at Mosaic, we salute you, we celebrate you, we admire you, and we are grateful for the example you are of God's love. And there's so many other kind of mothers, right? You have community mothers, you have mentors, you have teachers. And as we're going through some of the rest of these, the next passage, I want us to have an eye on the different types of mothers that there are in a community. And the story I'm going to start with, or the story I'm going to use for this illustration, will be one from a character that many of you guys probably know, Moses. Moses was born in Egypt, and he was born at a time that it was against the law for the Hebrew women to have boys. If a boy was born, it was the edict of the king to have that child killed, because they did not want the men to rise up in that area and then overthrow Egypt. And so there's a lot of different characters that you'll see as we read through this story that represents a mom. You'll see a physical mom. You'll see a step or an adoptive mom. You will see different people in the community that stepped in as mom. And so as we're reading this, I want you to think about people in your life that maybe have played this role, because these are the people that we're looking to celebrate today. And so starting in verse 8, chapter 1, it says, "Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. 'Look,' he said to his people, 'the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country.' So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. And in all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiprah and Puah, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Whoo! Hiding a baby for 3 months. All of those who have babies here know how impossible that is. A miracle of the Lord. When we talk about miracles, you know, we talk about parting the Red Sea and all of that. We need to start including this story. Hid for 3 months a newborn. It's impossible. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Who was Moses' mother in that story? I think if we all look at it from the lens of what a mother is, someone who is going to raise you up, someone who is going to love you, someone who is going to protect you excessively, there are a multitude of women who played the role of mother in his life. There certainly was his mother that delivered him, right? That had all the, you know, Alzheimer's protection in her brain and all of those things designed by God, right? But these midwives had a command from the king of Egypt, and they lied to him, which if you know anything about pharaohs at this time, that could have been their lives. It would have been their lives if he knew. And they decided to love that child anyway, putting their own lives on the line. That's the love of a mother. And then you have the sister who didn't just let him idly go by. Some of you guys were raised by a sister. Some of you guys are raising a sibling. She played a role of mother. She didn't just let him go. She watched him. She looked over him, protected him excessively. And then you have his soon-to-be stepmom, Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. The princess brings him in, recognizes who he is. It wasn't like, oh, this is some random baby. This is a Hebrew baby. And she, I assume, that she knew the edict that was out there that Hebrew babies, particularly boys, were to be launched into the Nile. Instead of doing that, she paid a Hebrew woman to nurse him and then brought him back and raised him up in Pharaoh's kingdom and named him Moses. And it says here, and he became her son. So a variety of mothers. And I want you guys to think of the importance of this. The Bibles that you have today were started by, well, certainly started by God, but the pen of the first five books of the Bible came from this kid, Moses. Your understanding of creation, your understanding of being made in the image of God, the foreshadowing and prophecy of Christ came through this kid's obedience that we don't have if he doesn't have a variety of mothers that are there to love him, to protect him, to support him when he couldn't even speak. No shots on the dads. We don't really hear much about the dads in this story. And that's no diss, but I think it's just to accentuate the love of mothers and the love of community mothers and the loves of stepmothers. And so I'm grateful for the mothers that Moses had in his life. I'm grateful for the mothers that are here in our community. Certainly Isaiah and Aviel and Zion and Elia have Christy as their mom. But you know who they also have? They have Jen, who my son Zion sits back in a room with. And when he's feeling emotional and when he's feeling out of it, she picks him up and holds him. And he rests on her shoulders and relaxes and oftentimes goes to sleep. And Zion don't like doing that with most anybody else. So, Jen, I thank you for being. Whew, I'm going to get through this sermon. I'm grateful for the women that we have in our community. I'm grateful for the example of love that we have in the community. I'm grateful that we even have a diversity of mothers here. Adoptive mothers, stepmothers, mothers in love. We have mothers that don't look anything like their children. And you know what? It's a reflection of the kingdom. It's a reflection of what things are going to be like in heaven. A mosaic, not to use a pun on words, but a mosaic of the kingdom happens because of mothers. And so, in closing, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Life begins inside of you, and life is better because of you. If anybody agrees with me, say amen. Amen. Let us pray, and then I'm going to invite Noah to come back up to take us into a time of communion. Father, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for this day. We're so grateful for the way you created things to be. Father, we know oftentimes because of the brokenness of this world, we don't get to see the fullness of what it is you have intended. But Father, we're grateful for the glimpse that we get to see of your love through mothers. Father, today I pray that every mother in here would feel appreciated, would feel loved, would feel encouraged. Father, I pray that you give them energy. Lord, we know that they need it. But I pray that they will feel celebrated here at Mosaic, Father. And we're grateful for the example they are to us and the encouragement they are to us to love like you. We're grateful for the time we have here together. And we thank you for all of this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.